Well, this morning we have an opportunity to hear God's word and apply God's word to your life. Amen. And if any of you have walked in here today needing to change, anybody? Yeah. Nobody. A couple. All right. Okay, beautiful. Or if you know of somebody that you would like to see changed, that person would be you, by the way. Just in case you didn't know that, so. Yes. And when we talk about, very often in churches, we talk about the word repentance, right? It's a word that we throw out there. That's, I call it churchese. There's a language that churches have. And it's the words that we so often speak to people. And in a church environment, you possibly understand what I mean when I say repent. But sometimes when we're outside in the world, and sometimes we're around other people, and maybe even for yourself, you kind of go, well, what does it mean to repent? What does that mean? So I want to help you with that this morning. Because Jesus talked about this. When he went out about his ministry, when he was with the people, wherever he was, he would very often say, repent. Come to God, and you'll be forgiven. And there's a process that we go through. So it was important to Jesus, and I think it's important to us, right? I think all of us, first of all of us want to change, right? Of the things that we wish we didn't do that we know maybe God, or we know God might not be pleased with, or maybe other people aren't pleased with, or we just feel inside of ourselves that it just isn't right. And we know inside of our heart that really we want to be different. We want to be better. We want to be more like God, right? We want to be more loving, more understanding, more forgiving, and things of that nature. And so we ask to be changed. And then the other side of that is some of us need to be forgiven for the things for which we've done, those things that we had done wrong, right? And I believe sometimes it's harder to forgive ourselves and ask for forgiveness and receive forgiveness than it is sometimes to change. Because even when we change and do something, a new habit or whatever it might be, if we're still holding on to guilt and remorse and shame and all the things that go from our past, things that we have done that we feel awful about ourselves and we haven't forgiven, or if there's someone in our life that we haven't forgiven them for harming us or hurting us, that gets in the way of really true change. Do you understand? Because, see, here's what Jesus, I believe, wants to happen in change. He wants our heart to change. And if our heart changes, if our attitude changes towards ourselves and others, our actions will follow. Do you believe that? Yes, I believe it with all my heart. I really do. When our heart changes, that's what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't just talking about behavior, because there's all kinds of things that we could do that practice this and practice that and do all kinds of things differently of an action, a behavioral change. We call it behavioral modification in psychology. You can change a behavior, but does that change you inside? No. Exteriorly, you might look like you've changed, but what often happens when you haven't changed your heart? You go right back to that other thing, right? Anybody been on a diet before? Yes. Okay, so we understand this concept. We start and stop things, right? And what often happens, I find, with even believers, is that we often give up on changing, right? Or because we sometimes feel as though we can't do it, or we feel unworthy, or we feel bad that we failed again, and so we stop trying, even to change. Right? And some of us have a false myth in our mind that God can only forgive us once. Some of you think that. How do I know that? Because sometimes you'll still tell God those same sins or behaviors or actions or not so great things you've done. You kind of bring them back to mind, right? And you feel bad about them again? Yes? Okay. Point taken. So that said, you know, in the Hebrew times and in the Jewish times of the Old Testament, there were two holy days that the Israelites would follow specifically to have themselves be changed. One of them was a time where they would go, Yom Kippur, they would go to God. It's called the Day of Atonement. And they would go once a year and ask for forgiveness. And there would also be, between that time, there would be something called Rosh Hashanah. And in between those two times, there was a third holy day, believe it or not, not really a holy day, but a holy time, where it's called, in the Hebrew, it's called Shabbat Shuvah, which means a time of returning. So between the time that we celebrate God and we come to God and we go for that time of atonement or forgiveness, there's also returning to God. And the reason I bring that up is this, because we have to keep returning to God all the time repetitively for forgiveness, don't we? Yes. Don't we? And in the Bible or the Old Testament, in the Hebrew again, they pray on Yom Kippur, they pray, they say, for you, God, are the Shachan, forgiver of us all. However, you are also the Solaka, because Solaka means that you are a God who is constantly forgiving. You see why in the Hebrew they use two different words, God who forgives me once. Now, let's put it this way. The first time you asked God to forgive you, you were... And if you keep messing up, he's constantly forgiving you. If you're me, he's constantly, perpetually, eternally, right? Sorry to say. But that's good news this morning, isn't it? Because what does that mean? God keeps giving you repetitive opportunities over and over and over again for you to come back to him, back into relationship with him, for you to be forgiven. You see how that connects to the 70 times 7 that we heard about in a couple of sermons ago, right? It means really infinitely. It's just a number Jesus threw out there, meaning you just keep forgiving, right? So I want to look at why this is important for you and for me. I think it is because we live in a time where forgiveness is often conditional. I'll forgive you for this, and I'll forgive you if. I forgive myself for these kind of things, but I can't forgive myself for that, right? We want to dispel that this morning. And when your heart is changed, when forgiveness comes upon you and you really are forgiven, what transpires is you start off with a brand new, fresh, clean heart, don't you? Don't you? Don't you? And you're set free from the punishment of those things you might have done. You're set free from the blame. You're set free from shame. You're set free. It's a relief, isn't it? When you're forgiven. Now, Jesus spoke of this to the Pharisees, because the Pharisees and the religious teachers of the time, they didn't get this religious concept. Theirs was very conditional. In fact, we know about the adulterous woman. You remember her in John 8? Remember the woman that was caught right in the act of adultery? What did the Pharisees say that was supposed to happen to her? Stone her. Right? She was supposed to die for that. To be punished. What does Jesus say? Well, if you're without sin, cast the first stone. We love that scripture, don't we? But that's not the only thing he was teaching. He was also writing in the sand. He might have been writing this Hebrew word, constantly forgiving. Because even the people that were walking away that had greater sins, perhaps, or equal sins, or lesser sins, than that woman caught in adultery, God was forgiving them too, wasn't he? And won't he? Yes. And then Jesus goes on to tell the story of what we call the prodigal son. Familiar with the story? This is a young man who received his inheritance over his brothers. He took all of the money, the inheritance ahead of time, went and squandered it, lived a high life, did all kinds of things that were away from God. Because his father was a godly person and went to temple. And his boy left that life, right? And then we read in the scriptures, I'm going to go to Luke 15. And so here's what happens. I love verse 17, because we know what happens to the boy, right? Without God, he does what? Starves, it says. He was so hungry without his father, which the father is God, right? That's the symbolic message here, spiritually speaking. He starves without God. And so in verse 17, it says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired men have food enough to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father. Now, does he say, I'm going to go home to my father and get some food? But you would think that, right? He's so hungry physically, right? Wouldn't you think that a kid, a boy, a man, a person would, if they have no food, the first thing they're going to look for is food, right? I'm going to go home. Daddy will feed me, right? This is not the illustration of this story, because he says, I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. What do we call this? This is called repentance. This is called, as Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 28, that when we confess our sin, when we admit that we've done wrong, when we say, yes, I did it. I didn't mean to, no excuses, but I did do that. When we admit that, it tells us in Proverbs 28, if we'll confess our sins, God will forgive us and be merciful to us. In the second part of that 28:13, it also says when we forsake those actions as well. So here's what happens. We know this boy has a change of what? Heart. Where did it start? In his stomach. A physical need, right? But what was more important, having food for the stomach? Food for the heart, right? You see the message in what Jesus is teaching us this morning? When we admit and say, I made a mistake by squandering all this and squandering this opportunity and leaving home and doing all these things and moving away from God because maybe I went down a different path, or maybe I was once, some of us, we get so ashamed that we won't go back to God, right? There are so many people that will not step foot in a church before their guilt and shame, and maybe because they expect the church to go, no, 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 no. Come up here in the front and confess your sins to everybody. That's not what this is about, right? We're not here to shame people, right? And religions that do that are the stone throwers, right? What are we here to give as a church? Mercy and grace and forgiveness. And if a person wants to repent, and if they want to tell us the most horrific thing they could have ever done, we hold on to our face and make sure it doesn't go. Self-control is important when someone's gonna tell you something. Brace yourself. But I want to tell you this. I want to confess to you. There's nothing you could tell me that you've done that I probably haven't done too. We're all fallible. We all make mistakes. We have all fallen short of God's glory. We've all done things we drastically, dramatically regret. And we want to change, don't we? We want to be different. But we can't become different if people are going to shame us and condemn us and punish us. It doesn't work that way. People aren't changed in prison. Why? Because they're not being forgiven or rehabilitated there. And the church is the last place people need to feel shamed and condemned. Right? You see why Jesus got in the Pharisees' face in Luke 15? Right? He was explaining to them. Let me tell you a story about a young man. He went away and he messed up his whole entire life. What a screw up. I'm paraphrasing. And you know what? He came to his senses and he changed his mind. And he wanted to be different. It was about willingness to change. You understand? The willingness to change. Maybe it can happen overnight that you change. But you can be forgiven overnight. You can be forgiven instantaneously, can't you? Yes, you can. And forgiveness is a beautiful gift that God gives us all. So this morning, for those of you that have been there and done that, and you need forgiveness, or you need to forgive someone else, this is the place and the time to do it. And God will constantly forgive you. So there's hope for you. Even if you mess up 5 seconds after you walk out of that sanctuary door, after we've had this great, beautiful, holy, wonderful, awesome service, and the best sermon you've ever heard. And, oh no, sorry, I'm sinning again. Just boasting here. Verse 20. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. Look at the next verse. This is God. See, this is a representation of God. In case you don't know what God is like and who God is like and what God's qualities are, here's an example of what God is like. When you decide in your mind or in your heart that you want to change and you want to be forgiven and you want to turn your life around, or however you want to phrase that, right? And you just decide, okay, this is it. I'm going to go to the altar. I'm going to ask God to forgive me, or I'm going to get on my knees at home, or I'm going to talk outside, wherever it might be that you decide, Lord, I want to change this and I want to be forgiven. Here's what transpires. Filled with love and compassion. Do you see the characteristic of God? He's filled with love and compassion. Love, unconditional love and compassion. He understands. He feels what it is. And he's happy that you're coming home. And he ran to his son. He ran to his son. Versus, you would think the boy would be running to him, right? Wouldn't you think? Sometimes we crawl to God, don't we? Sometimes we can barely move in our seats when we have times when we offer you the opportunity to come and be forgiven. Some of you sit there and you've done such awful things, and that runs through your mind and you think, I'm not worthy. I can't be forgiven. I want to tell you this morning, yes, you can. And you know what? If you can't move, if somehow, some way you just stay stuck in that seat or in that place in your life, I want you to know that God will run to you. And if you ever see a pastor running towards you, please don't run the other way. Whoa. We're not coming to condemn you. We're not coming to judge you. We are not coming to be better than you. We're coming to love you and show you God's love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. And we want you to receive it this morning. That's what God is like. Compassionate and loving. And he embraced him and kissed him. I could just imagine what it looks like. And Jesus had used this example and said, when one sinner repents, there's more joy in heaven. There's a celebration when your heart decides to change and you decide to ask for change. And the boy speaks, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. That's how some people feel. Some people have been rejected by so many people that are not unconditionally loving. They're not like God, right? Humans are not like God sometimes. You understand that? And even people that speak for God are not always like God. Are they filled with love and compassion? No, you get it. No, you get it. And he speaks that out. And the next one's a good butt in the Bible. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. We're going to have a party. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Dress them up. Listen, if you need forgiveness this morning for anything and or everything, if this is this morning the time when you decide in your heart that you want to come back to God and return, because this is the season of returning to God, is it not? For God to constantly forgive. If you really want to change your life for the better and feel better about yourself, I offer you the opportunity this morning. Come back to God. Come to the Lord as we have our communion time. Just come. Have your heart changed. Yes, you can admit inside of your own self what you've done. You don't have to confess to a person. It's against heaven, right? As the Son said. Whatever inside of you that you need forgiveness for this morning, turn your heart back to God. And I promise you, God's love and compassion and mercy and grace will fill you to overflowing. And you know what happens when your heart changes like that, when you have this sense of relief of being forgiven? You're lighter. You're more understanding. And just maybe, because of being forgiven that much, you'll love even more. And maybe in turn, I pray, you'll also forgive others in the same way. I personally believe that what this world needs more is unconditional love, compassion, mercy, and grace. And where does it begin? It begins with us. It begins with you. It begins by having God's Spirit within us. And then, once we've repented of the things that we wish we didn't do, which might very well be that maybe we judged or we were unforgiving, we ask God, teach me how to forgive like you do, so that we can give to others what we've received for ourselves. So if you've been there, done that, and you've been forgiven, and you don't need any more forgiveness, that's cool. If you're somebody like most of us here, and you've been there, done that, and you keep being there and doing that, come here to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness. You'll receive it. God will open his arms up and hug you and kiss you and bless you. And I know you'll change and be different. Maybe the actions won't change, but your heart will. And little by little, I can promise, I can predict, you're also going to change that behavior. Amen.